Welcome to Sis Internet Radio. Sisters in Spirit, affectionately called Sis, is a nurturing environment for women that inspires harmony in everyday living, shares resources that empower, offers information and support that nourishes the soul, balances our mental and physical well-being, and promotes inner peace and heightened spirituality. Our vision is a world where women live consciously, harmoniously, and spiritually to positively impact our lives and the lives of those with whom we come into contact. Join us as we live life with style, grace, and of course, much joy.
Good evening, and thanks for joining the Sis Financial Literacy Education Program. Our series of webinars and Saturday academies are designed to motivate and educate individuals with a focus on young women to develop abundance consciousness and to get your money right. Tonight, we are talking about managing credit and debt. And we all know that dealing with personal finances can be intimidating and even overwhelming if you're not financially savvy, especially when it comes to dealing with credit and debt. Proper use of credit and debt enhances our lives, and misuse can mortgage future income and cause the inability to take care of current needs. Credit and debt, when used wisely, can open the doors to many opportunities to enhance your life, such as obtaining an education and establishing a business. So learning the basics of how to establish, improve, and repair credit is a wonderful gift that you can give yourself. So tonight, I'm here with my co-host, Sky. Sky, how are you this evening?
I'm wonderful, Raisa. How are you?
I am doing very well, and we are fortunate to have with us tonight as a guest, Art Crutcher from BB&T Bank. Good evening, Art.
Good evening. How are you?
Hi, Art.
Good evening.
We are doing well this evening. So before we get started and launch into the webinar that Art will present to you this evening, he'll be sharing some invaluable information. I'm going to start with a short introduction about Art. And then, Art, you can tell us some more about yourself and the work that you do at BB&T, if you like.
Okay, so, thank you.
Art Crutcher Jr. is from Dayton, Ohio, and a Metro Atlanta resident since 1996. And as a former Invincible Marching Maruta at Central State University, Wilberforce, Ohio, he learned the practice of teamwork and hard work. Art has been in the banking business for 18 years, starting on the teller line and progressing to branch manager, private banking, and business banking. He's worked in many markets around Metro Atlanta and has made it his goal to help and teach anyone that he can. Art was blessed to marry Bobby in 1995, who has supported him while he volunteers time as officer or board member with Habitat for Humanity, the NAACP, Rockdale Emergency Relief, Leadership Henry, Junior Achievement. So you can see he's heavily involved in the community and heavily invested in helping others. And as a former small business owner and real estate investor, he has experienced the ups and downs of economic conditions, cash flow shortages, and has learned the importance of credit management. These experiences, along with his professional knowledge, are what he provides to clients on a daily basis. And I am honored that he is here with us this evening to help us in any way that he can to achieve our financial goals. All right, again, welcome to the show. And, you know, one of the things that we mentioned on our website was a goal of many people is to get an A on their financial report card, and that financial report card is their credit report. And so I know that this evening you'll be able to give us a good deal of information on how to get there. So to start, can you just tell us how you got into finance and really what motivates you to share financial literacy with others?
Well, you know, at any time when we hit that high school point, we're deciding what we want to do, you know, as a career, especially when we're choosing majors in college and so forth. You know, we typically have a passion that we kind of go for, and then, like many people, that changes during freshman year of college. So, you know, during the time in school, I just always had an affinity to really to finance and to, you know, wondering how the world turns regarding money. So at the time of finishing school, I actually went out to start my own business in selling coupons to small business owners in my area in Dayton, Ohio. Created a coupon book in which they could advertise their businesses. Being a shy kid and very introverted, this process of getting out and talking to people about this passion I had really brought me out of that shell, if you will, that I've always had as a youngster. So by the age of, I guess, around 21 or so, the business, you know, it's time to say, okay, what am I going to do? You know, mom's saying, what are you going to do? What will my future hold? So I kind of say, well, you know, I've got this this knack for finance and now talking to people. So I actually answered an ad for a local bank to come in and be a full-time employee. And so that's how I got into the banking arena around the age of, it was 23. Starting on the teller line, as you mentioned in my introduction there, and kind of just growing from there, again, coming out of that shell, continuing to talk to people, learning how to talk to people of all ages, ethnicities, and backgrounds, and just kind of grew from there.
Okay. So just out of curiosity, was that like an ultimatum that you got? Either you do one thing or either you get a job or you do something else.
Well, you know, my mom was very kind in letting me stick around home as long as I did. But it was like, you know, she wanted to make sure I had a goal and make sure I was going toward the goal. So, you know, you hit that indecisional age where it's like, I really don't know what I want to do when it's comfortable being at home and waiting on mom to cook and clean. But she said, no, my son's not going to do that.
Right.
So so I had to make a decision.
Tough love. Okay, so let's talk credit and debt management.
Good deal.
At that age that you just mentioned,
mm-hmm.
you know, where do I start?
All right, let's get into it. I'll tell you, I get excited about this, so just put the brakes on me if I start talking too fast or getting too loud. But, you know, if we want to start, you know, there's a background to this credit thing and this debt thing going back, you know, hundreds of years as far as the society goes. You know, you started with, you know, people had to make a decision on how they were going to get the goods that they got, you know, say 1800s, we'll go back that far. And there was something called bartering that people would do. If they, you know, grew vegetables on a farm or if they made some type of good, there was no credit, per se, at that point on how to get something you needed for something you had. So they would barter and say, hey, I've got, you know, I've got a cow, okay, and I'll barter or trade you for some good that they might need for their household. So as evolution happens and we you know, time goes on, we then move to, okay, I have this need, so I'm going to ask a family member. So the family member, as we all know, sometimes that can get kind of tricky when you're borrowing money, especially, or borrowing goods from Cousin Joe, okay? So now we come up into a point where the business industry, you know, creates this thing called banking. And I'm moving decades real quick here. But the industry of banking and finance comes along and says, hey, we can take care of this need that people might have by letting them borrow funds at some type of repayment plan, okay? So when we have this repayment plan, there's something in that called interest. And I'll break some of the, a lot of these things down as we go on in this conversation. But you know, banking decided, and individuals would start these banks, and partners would get together to start these banks to determine, okay, we're going to have people contribute certain funds and begin a bank, and we're going to loan that money out, okay, to individuals at a repayment plan at a rate, and based on that rate of return is how we're going to make money. So at that point, we say these partners get together and they're able to get, we'll just say, $1 million together, okay, and they open the doors to a bank. They start opening accounts for people who bring in their money. They open accounts for businesses who bring in their money. So now that $1 million becomes $5 million. And now they say, okay, well, we've got people that want to buy goods. We've got businesses that need to grow. So we'll loan the money out to a certain point to these people and charge them an interest rate to get paid back. That interest rate is, of course, profit for the bank or for the lender. So now we've got this thing called credit that has been established, and we start going from there. Now, initially and currently, actually, businesses and companies would get into establishing credit to build consumer loyalty, okay? And say, well, fast forward to today. You have companies like Macy's, Ford, Home Depot. All of them have their own credit card, okay, and that method of credit to get out there to people, because, of course, if you've got that Macy card in your wallet, in your purse, in your pocket, okay, you're going to take that card to Macy's and spend those funds. And then, of course, Macy's charges you an interest rate to pay, you know, to get paid back, and they continue to make money. So when you've got that Home Depot card in your pocket, you can't take it to Lowe's. You got to go to Home Depot, okay? You're going to buy a vehicle. You got Ford credit. You got GMC credit. You got Volkswagen credit and so forth. So when you go to that car lot and Ford credit says, hey, we'll loan you the money to buy that car, pay consumer loyalty. You're going to buy that car from them. Their finance company will loan you the money to do so. You pay them back at a certain amount, including interest. They got you to buy their product, and they made the interest from loaning you the money. So this consumer loyalty thing has been going on for hundreds of years, before, I shouldn't say hundreds of years, many decades, to get you to use the product of the company that you are already using. Yeah.
Now basically, though, we went from an era of having what you could afford to buy to having what your credit can afford to get you.
Exactly. And you know, it really gets into an area there where when you could afford to buy things, typically you bought what you needed, okay? Now we're in an era where, because we are able to use things like a credit card or money that we don't have, sometimes we get into areas where we buy things we don't need, okay? Now that's where the thing called debt comes into play. So, and, you know, we've heard this term, microwave society. I want it now. And things like credit card help you achieve that goal, okay? So, you know, we'll talk about how to manage those things as we go forward. But, you know, just a point of interest here, there are actually some countries out there that really don't have as much of a credit culture as we have here in America. You know, in some countries, if you want to buy a house, per se, you don't have, there's nothing called a mortgage, where you have, you know, you can go to the bank, borrow money to buy your home. Basically, you have to save the money up or partner up with other family members with a pot of money and go buy the house. So in some ways, we are lucky to have that culture. It's just that we have to learn how to manage it properly and use the money that we can afford to use to buy what we can afford to live in, as far as the house goes.
Right.
Okay. Now, let's talk cash versus credit. Okay. Of course, if you have the cash in your pocket and you go to the mall, you have $200. That's all you can spend, is that $200 at the mall. Okay. Now, the moment somebody puts a Macy's card or a JCPenney card in your pocket with a $500 limit, okay, now you've got an extra $500 you can spend. Now, I use this as an example because many young people, typically a credit card is your first line of credit that is offered to you, especially in school. If I remember back in my freshman year of college, they were on the campus every week, and they would give you $5 to fill out a JCPenney application.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those of us that are in school or about to go to school, $5 is, you know, hey, when you don't have anything, that's a lot of money. get you some extra groceries at the store. So whether you get this card or not, I got $5, and I'm gone. All right? But this card shows up, and it says I have $300 to spend at JCPenney. All right? Now, I don't really need anything at JCPenney, but it's very tempting to go over there and spend a weekend and get that pair of Jordans or get that, new whatever you might want.
Yeah.
But there's something called a bill that's going to come 30 days later that's going to say, okay, you had a good time on that Saturday, but now we want $30. Now, remember, you were lucky to get the $5 when you got the application. Now they want $30. All right, now we got something called debt. And we're in school freshman year, and we didn't tell mom or dad that we wouldn't apply for this application and got this card. So how are we going to pay the $30 that JCPenney is asking for? This is where it gets very important to make a decision when these tempting things, and there's tempting things throughout young life, old life or whatever, that confronts us in our society every day. It's making the smart decision on, is this for me, where it makes a difference. And conversations like we're having today in this forum is something, hopefully, that will help the people that are listening make the right decision. So making that right decision is saying, okay, yes, I'm going to establish credit by getting this particular credit card, but I know I've got to use it responsibly, okay? Now, in school, we have to buy books, we have to eat, and these kind of things, but we also have to know that the bank is looking for a repayment, okay, within 30 days of whatever you used. So you have to look at the money that's coming in, okay, if you are in school and someone's sending you a certain amount of money per month, or if you're working and you're making a certain amount of money per month, you have to realize, okay, how much of this money can I repay back toward debt? So in looking at that, you have, again, going back to cash versus credit. Cash, you spend what you have. Credit, you're spending what you don't have, and you got to make up for it later. We've discussed why we typically do that, and we discussed the now society. I want it now. I can't wait. Now, if we're going to move to other types of credit, like I mentioned, credit cards are entry into developing a credit score and a credit report and a credit history, okay? These are things from the age that you're 18, and that is when you can legally have some type of credit at the age of 18. Now, sometimes a adult will co-sign with maybe a 17-year-old, okay, to get a certain type of credit to help them start establishing a credit history. But we have to remember a co-signer is someone that will sign with you and say, hey, if this person can't pay, I have the ability to pay. So that co-signer has to be aware of everything that's going on with that particular account and hopefully determine whether the individual that has that credit card or loan has the method to repay the payment. Now, the co-signer and the owner of the credit are equally liable for the debt, okay? So if the card holder or the account holder can't pay, say, that $30 at JCPenney, the JCPenney people are going to call that co-signer and say, hey, so-and-so hasn't made the payment. We need to be paid by this point, and we're calling you to get the money now, okay? So now the co-signer and the account owner are in jeopardy of having a negative mark on the credit report because of late payment or non-payment, okay? Any questions at this point?
No.
Okay. So we're going to move on to the types of credit. We've talked about a credit card, okay? A credit card is something called unsecured credit. meaning you didn't have to put up any collateral, okay, and we'll get into those terms in just a moment. But you didn't have to say, hey, you can have this in order for me to have that, okay? So the old bartering thing that we talked about, that's not in play at this point. This is now unsecured credit based on who you are, based on your ability to repay, based on whatever credit you are putting up, or if you're just starting credit. We're going to say there's nothing we can take per se because this is unsecured, okay? Then you have secured credit. Secured credit is a type of credit where you are buying something. It becomes the collateral with this money that you're borrowing. So an example of secured credit would be if you're buying a vehicle, a car, you're buying a home, you are giving the bank some type of cash or some type of item to hold as collateral to get what you're trying to get on your loan. Okay, so now that's secured. So in the case of that you can't repay, the creditor or the bank now can take what you put, what you gave them, okay, to repay that debt. So we talked about secure credit and unsecured credit. We're going to touch a little bit on these different types of credit and how the credit report and how in the ways that you are going about building credit. Okay, from that first credit card you got when you were 18 years old at JCPenney or whomever, when you're in college, that is when your credit report and your credit history start. So basically, from that time, we'll say you hit 50 years old, okay? From 18 to 50, okay? You got, at the time you pulled your credit report at 50 years old, you got a history of that many years that your credit report has been open, okay? So when you go to buy something at 50, at 40, at 30, at 20, okay? Every creditor looks at that credit report as a way to determine your prior payment history and if you're going to pay them back. Now, if you are writing anything down, I'm going to give you these, what we call five C's of credit, okay? The first one is character. Character basically lets whomever looking at your credit report, the bank or whomever, determine your integrity level, okay? Basically, that's saying you got these other loans out there or these other credit cards. The credit report is going to tell them how you repaid those loans. Okay, because remember, the person that you are now coming to get new credit doesn't know you, okay? So the only way they can get to know you is by looking at your history, and that is your credit report. And so character, the first C, is determining, again, your integrity level and did you repay those that you borrowed from. The next C is called capacity. Capacity is basically determine your sufficient cash flow to service the obligation. And all that means is, did you have the cash to make your repayments, okay? Did you have the income to pay the debts that you had? Capital, okay, is the third C. And that's basically your net worth. And your net worth is anything that you own. If you own a vehicle, if you own a savings account, a checking account, furniture, jewelry, those types of things, a house, there's a value associated with anything that you own, even clothing, okay? So basically, when you are looking at your net worth, you determine it, there's a number that's there, and you add up the value of anything you own, okay? I don't care if you're 18 or 68, okay? Everything that you have that you own has a value, and that becomes your net worth, and that you take that value minus any debt you have, now you have a net worth, okay? And that helps, again, the new creditor determine that you have something there to repay them if all goes bad, okay? There's a job loss. Your income goes down. Do you have assets that you own that you can sell or that you can liquidate is another word we use. But basically, some kind of way to turn what you have into cash to repay them. They're looking at that picture. The fourth C is collateral, okay? That's the asset or the item that you're going to use to secure the debt. Now, we talked about secure debt earlier. Now, if you're buying a car, after your credit card or during school or after school, typically the next thing that's going to be purchased is a car, All right. And that's going to be probably your first big purchase. You can buy a used car, new car, you know, whatever's affordable. But you're going to go to a car lot or to an individual, and they're going to, you're looking, you know, at that Mustang or, you know, whatever you might be looking for, and that is going to have a price on it, okay? Now, that price, say, we'll use the figure $20,000, okay? There's a $20,000 vehicle that you want, and you want to finance it because you just don't happen to have $20,000 in the bank right now. So you're going to say, hey, how much would that cost me per month to drive that car off the lot today, okay? Now, they're going to pull your credit. They're going to determine how much, if you have a job, how much money you make, and how much debt you have, okay? And then that's going to determine that your car payment's going to be, say, $300 a month, okay? So if we're looking at that type of loan, okay, that's going to be, again, a collateralized loan. That car is the collateral for your loan. So at the end of the day, if all goes bad and you just can't make that payment anymore, then your car is the collateral. That's what they'll come and get in order to repay your debt, okay? So collateral asset. And then the last C is condition, okay? Based on current economy, based on how long you've been in your job, the security of your net worth, basically the whole picture, that last C is condition, and that is determined helping the new creditor or the bank determine, looking at the whole picture, at the end of the day, even if things go bad, this person is still a good risk, okay, to give you this particular product or this particular loan, all righty? And I just introduced a new word, risk. Anytime you get new credit, there is a risk factor involved to the person that gave you the credit. Even if you're at home and a parent gives you $30, okay, and tells you to go and get a gallon of milk, some eggs, and a ham, okay? Now, typically there's going to be change there. That parent or whoever that is that gave you the $30 is taking a risk that you're going to bring the change back, all right? So if there's, I don't know, $8 in change that's coming back, there's a risk factor there because they're sending you away with that money. Or if you loan a friend, if you give a friend $20 to borrow, and they say they're going to pay you back next Friday, there's a risk factor there that says, okay, I'm giving you this. You told me you're going to pay it back here, and if you don't, okay, I probably won't do it for you again. But that's the risk you're taking in that person paying you back, okay? And now the bank or the lender is taking that same risk in you when you're saying, let me borrow $20,000 to buy this Mustang. Let me have your credit card, and I promise to pay you back, okay? It's all a promise to pay. So if we come back to talking about the credit report, the only way we can determine as a bank if you are a good risk to lend to is if you have a solid credit report out there that's going to show them that your character has proven over time that you pay your bills, that you paid as agreed, and all those that loaned you money to buy whatever, that you pay them back in a timely manner. Now, if we move on, I'm going to talk about the three credit bureaus that are out there, okay? Again, it all begins with understanding, and understanding, knowledge is power. So if we know these things, then we're better able to handle any issues that might come up in our daily life. So I'm going to give you the three credit bureaus, and we'll give you the websites to each credit bureau that you can go to. One, there's three credit bureaus in our country. Experian, E-X-P-E-R-I-A-N, TransUnion, and Equifax, E-Q-U-I-F-A-X. Now, each one of these credit bureaus has a website, and basically it's Experian.com, TransUnion.com, Equifax.com. Now, for those of us that are here in Atlanta, and you happen to go down Peachtree, you're headed toward Buckhead, you will see Equifax. That is one of the three credit bureaus in our country that happens to be right here in Atlanta. Okay? Now, a credit reporting agency such as these three, all they do is keep track of information from any lenders that are out there loaning money to people. basically they don't have anything to do with the account, anything to do with how you pay the account. They can't fix the interest rates you're paying. They can't issue credit or any of these things. They are a reporting agency. So basically, they help, again, anyone that's loaning you money can pull one of these zeros and say, okay, what have you paid and how have you paid it? So when you go out and get a loan for a vehicle, a credit card, whomever, however you pay that company back, that company is going to report to one of these bureaus every 30 days, okay, to say, hey, they paid their payment this month. Hey, they did not pay their payment this month. Hey, they haven't paid their payment in 3 months, okay? So when you go to pull one of these reports, all they're saying is, hey, this is what was reported to us, okay? Similar to, say, a report card, okay? If you your report card gets mailed home, okay? All your when you're looking at those grades, only thing is being reported is the work you did in that class, okay? And the teacher's saying, hey, based on the report, based on the actions of this particular student against the work that was given to them, this is the grade that was issued, and this is what's being reported on the report card, okay? Similar concept there. So if we're looking at these particular three credit bureaus, I'm going to tell you this. Depending on which part of the country you live in will be most likely most of your credit be reported to. So I say that, and we break that down. If you are living in the southeastern part of the country, you know, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, Alabama, this part of the country, more than likely your credit and new credit that you're getting will be pulled from Equifax. Typically, for a credit card or an installment loan, they will pull from one credit bureau. If you're looking at a mortgage, they typically look at all three credit bureaus. So in contrast to that, if you're living in California or the western part of the country, more than likely they're going to look at TransUnion, okay, because TransUnion happens to be in that part of the country. And so they're going to more likely look at what's reported on TransUnion. Now, each credit piece you have may not be reported to all three bureaus, okay, but you just don't know who is being reported to what. So, of course, at the end of the day, it's best to pay those obligations in a timely manner and pay them off. So if we back up a little bit, we mentioned the websites, okay, for these particular credit bureaus. Another website I want you to write down is annualcreditreport.com. Again, that's annualcreditreport.com. This particular website is a free source for you to get a copy of your credit report from all three bureaus at one time. Now, they're a business, so they're in the business to make money too. So if you go directly to their website, there's going to be a fee to buy your credit report, okay? And a fee to get your score, and I'll tell you about the score in just a moment. Typically, that fee can be anywhere from $18 to $30, depending on the credit bureau, okay? But annualcreditreport.com gives you one free every year, and you can pull it down on the website, and it asks you some information for security purposes, but you want to at least keep track of that if you have a credit card, you have a credit report, okay? And you want to make sure that it is in, things are being reported the way that you expect them to be reported. If you have paid your payments on time, there should be that reflected on the report. If you have been late once, then it should show on your report as late once, okay, not late five times. In instances where you are in a situation where you see on the credit report there's something in error out there, I don't care if you're 18 again or older, all righty. There's something called identity theft out there. So basically someone got credit in your name, okay, and this is why you want to make sure you check your credit report quite often. Again, minimum once a year so that you can nip it in the bud, per se. You can jump on it right away and report the discrepancy, okay? Sometimes people think that they can't fix it, their credit report, or they can't make corrections. If there's an error there and you can prove it, they will correct it, okay? But you have to let them know first because you don't want to get to a situation where you're trying to buy that car or buy that house, and there's something out there you didn't know about, and it's slowing your process, because that can be very frustrating, and you just don't want that to happen, because you, especially when there's something you can prevent by keeping an eye on it. Now, I mentioned the credit score, okay? Let's talk about that for just a moment. Just like a GPA, grade point average, there is something called a credit score or FICO score that's associated with your credit. You have a range anywhere from 350 to 850, okay, when it comes to a score. Now, again, just like a GPA, you have a, say, 1.5 or you have a 4.0, okay? You have a 4.0, pretty much you can get what you want when it's time to go to any college you want to, okay? You have a 1.5, there might be some challenges in getting to the college you want to get to or even staying in the school you're at, okay? So same thing with credit. You got a 350 on the low end, then it's going to be a challenge to get the credit you want. You have an 850 on the high end, you can pretty much get what you want on credit, okay, depending on what you can afford. Alrighty. So how do you determine what the score is? Again, based on the age of your credit report. Again, your credit report starts at the first credit card you get or the first loan you get. That could be a 17 if you have a cosigner, or 18 with a cosigner. And it could be, of course, older than that, depending on when you start establishing a credit record. So when at this point, based on your payment history, you will start incurring and start gathering information on these credit reports, which will generate a score, okay? There's three categories I'm going to give you that determine what the sections of a credit report. There is a section called installment loan or installment, okay? Installments are equal payments of the same amount for a particular term, okay? So such as a vehicle. You buy that $20,000 vehicle, okay, it says that your payment is $300 a month for a term of 48 months or 4 years, okay? So including interest at $300 a month, you're going to pay that $20,000 car off, okay, and it becomes yours with no more payments. And I'm just using these numbers as an example. But basically at the end of that term, you have fixed payment, fixed term. That's an installment loan, okay? You have revolving credit is the next section. Revolving credit is a credit card, okay, or a line of credit. So basically you could have a different amount that you pay every month depending on the balance that you used on that card. So we'll use JCPenney as an example again. You had a $500 limit. This month you used $300. You paid $20. Your balance is $280, okay? Next month, including interest, your balance might be $285. You paid in $50 as well. So it's a revolve. It's a changing amount based on what you paid toward that card, okay? And this is if you keep a balance. You can always pay any loan off early or pay more than your payment if you want to pay it off sooner. So in these cases, it's revolving credit, and that is, again, your payment is revolving, it's moving, plus the interest rate can move, okay, on your credit card. While we're talking about credit cards right quick, I want to let you know that the interest rate on credit cards are typically higher than an installment loan. And like we talked about earlier, this being an unsecured credit means that banks take the opportunity to charge a higher rate because there's nothing securing a credit card. So risk, like we talked about earlier, becomes a factor. Because if you decide you just don't want to pay that card anymore and you don't care about your credit or your score, then you walk away and they try to find you to get some type of money out of you to repay the debt. But, again, that risk means that instead of paying, say, 4% on a car loan, which is an installment, they might charge you 14% on that credit card, okay? So credit card, and we've been back to that a few times because, again, that's typically the first line of credit that young people get or most people get. Can hurt you in the long run if it's not managed properly because of the rate environment that's around the credit card. 14%, 18%, 25%. These numbers can add up very quickly. So whereas you thought that innocent $500 at JCPenney is something that, you know, shouldn't be bad. Now it's become $1,500 because you didn't pay on it. The interest rates are adding up and increasing, and now you're looking at a much higher debt than you even used, plus late fees and all that. So managing that, again, is very, very important. So moving back to the credit report, we had the we were at the revolving credit and the installment credit. Then we have a mortgage credit, okay? Again, that's a house. So when you get to that point and you're ready to buy a home, and really you can buy a home at any time you can afford it. So if you decide if you get out of college earlier or if you're not even a college student and you're working out in the workforce and you are 20 years old, 21 years old, and you have some type of established credit, then as long as you can afford it, you can buy a house at that age. You know, you don't have to be 30 or 40 or 50 to buy a home. I've seen it before, and I was very proud, actually, to meet the individual that was able to do that. I didn't buy my first house until I was 26. So that is a very good and sound investment to make in buying a home at that age, because you can pay it off real quick and be done with it. But so those are different sections of our credit report that are reviewed in building a credit history.
Art, thank you very much for taking us through this credit and finance journey, starting with the history and bringing us all the way up to today and managing our credit card and even the credit report. It was very thorough. I just want to take a moment to let our listeners know that we are listening to Art Crutcher, Assistant Vice President and Financial Content Leader at BB&T Bank. Also, Art, I'd like for you to take a moment to give our listeners your contact information should they want to contact you a little bit later after the show.
Sure. Phone number contact is 770-484-2008. Email is acrutcher, A-C-R-U-T-C-H-E-R, at dbandt.com.
Thank you. Now, again, you've done a very good job of bringing us through the credit, giving us a really good foundation and understanding of what credit is. I have two questions that I'd like to ask because we have people that are going to be along the spectrum. First, what are the three most important things that an individual should do to establish good credit? And then secondly, if you've had credit for a while and you just had made some mistakes along the way, what are the three things that most important things or steps you can take to repair your credit?
Okay. As far as establishing credit would be, or the first steps to that would be looking at some type of secure card, and we're going to use that on both ends of your, on both questions, actually.
Okay.
But say if you don't have someone that can co-sign, or there's not a local department store that will issue you a small credit, again, such as a credit card, you have options such as secured credit card, where you basically use a savings account with, say, $300 or $400, and the bank will issue you a secured credit card to use using that savings account as collateral. Typically, you can establishing within 6 months. Of using that small credit by using it and paying it. You don't have to pay the whole thing every month, but they want to see your record, and that will help you to get a credit report credit established. The other option, of course, is if you're fortunate to have a co-signer, then you typically don't have to have a secure credit card. They're basically using the credit of your co-signer, someone that already has established credit that will help you get started yourself. And, again, making sure you make those payments timely so it doesn't affect both of your credit.
Okay.
And then if you have some hiccups and you really want to get back on track, okay, when you pull your credit report and determine what those hiccups were, you have your most negative things, such as bankruptcies, foreclosures, judgments, garnishments, and so forth, okay? The main thing is to determine how can you get those fixed, okay? How can you get those settled? Having that conversation with that they don't go away. They will be there. And so once you have that conversation, determine some type of repayment option, even if it's bankruptcy, okay? Some of the fastest way you can get those released is the better, so that the credit report will note that this particular item has been settled, okay? Now, at that point, and once that settlement is noted, then you can, again, have to start reestablishing. This is where we come back to the secure credit option, again, of putting a few dollars in a savings account and getting a credit card. Again, that's the easiest way to start reestablishing some type of credit history once you have those hiccups. If it's something not as harsh as what I've mentioned, and you just had a late payment on an item, okay, then typically it's just making continued payments. I would say anywhere from 18 to 24 months before really that becomes irrelevant, okay? If you had a late payment or something like that on your credit report, making timely payments on all your other credit and waiting out the time, basically that becomes irrelevant for new creditors when they look at the report.
Okay, thank you. And actually, when I graduated from college, that was the secured credit card was the first card that I had, and it wasn't bad at all. It came through my credit union, and it wasn't a bad experience at all, and that helped me establish credit.
Me also.
Helped me reestablish credit at one
point. That's not a bad deal at all. And what are some of the major mistakes that people make with their credit, that kind of, you know, things that we should try, you know, consciously try to avoid doing?
The biggest thing here in the last few years is biting off more than we can chew, basically, and that is getting into some type of loan that we can't afford. And really that is, you know, we think that, okay, I'm going to get a raise, or I'm going to get a bonus, or I'm going to have my tax return come, and I'll be able to pay this in the next 3 months, okay? Life happens, and things come up, okay? And so the thing to remember is, okay, whatever situation I'm in today is the situation I might be in 3 months from now, and whatever that jump in cash might you think might happen may not happen. So if I can't afford that today with what I have, irrelevant of what might be coming, don't do it, okay? Don't make that purchase. Determine also, think twice. Maybe bring someone in that is outside of your picture that you trust, okay? And I'm giving you advice from my own personal experience too. Many times if I brought someone in on what I was looking at purchasing, okay, even though I know all of this, you know, we're still human. Yeah, we know better, but sometimes we don't do better. So just bringing that outside, that third party in, or that says, okay, helps you question, do you really need that? You know, is that something you really have to have now? And that kind of helps you think twice about making that purchase of getting into that debt. Because, again, life happens, and now you're in a situation that you really don't know how to get out of, and it just drags you down in the long run. So, you know, that would be one major point, I would say.
Okay. And any other additional points that you would like to share with our listeners?
Sure. Let's see here. When you're looking at, always look at the whole picture when you're getting into any type of new loan or debt. Look at, you know, ask questions about the interest rate. Ask questions about the term. Ask questions about prepayment penalties. And basically, like we talked about earlier, interest rate determines what kind of payment you're going to make and how long you're going to have to pay to get this debt cleared. Any fees that are going to take place, or the penalties for paying it off early. Say you get an income tax and you can pay this off early. You want to make sure up front that when you get into this new loan or this new debt, that there's not some type of penalty that you have to pay it off early. So, you know, you want to ask all these questions and make sure all these things are in writing, okay? Many times there's some long forms, and there's a lot of forms that people have you sign, banks, whomever, to get into a debt, okay, and it's much small print. Take the time to look through these items to make sure, again, that you're not signing for something that you didn't know about. And 2 years down the line, something's going on, and they say, hey, you signed this, okay? Read it. Take the time, and if they don't want you to take the time to read it, then it's time to get up and go to somewhere else, okay? There's options down the block from wherever you are, okay? So make sure that those are, if there's something that you don't understand, okay, bring someone else in to help you understand it, or if you're dealing with a banker, they should be able to explain it to you. But anywhere you decide to do business, you want to feel comfortable, and you always have freedom of choice. okay, where you get up and say, I'm not feeling this. So you get up and you go somewhere else where you are feeling comfortable, okay, in making that choice to sign your name on any piece of paper.
So, Art, how important do you think it is to have a banker as a personal or rather professional contact?
Okay. When it comes to situations like we just talked about, when something comes up, I have people, and again, I work in all different parts of Atlanta, and I've had, fortunately, I have the same cell phone number wherever I happen to be working for the last 10 years. And I've got folks that'll be sitting at a closing table, and they're not necessarily doing the loan with me, but they just trust that I will give them the right information. So if you've got a banker, a accountant, whomever, search out someone that will be real with you and really that will be honest with you and give you unscripted information. And what I'm saying there is just they're not reading from some book. They're not giving you what their company or what the bank tells them to say. We're all human. We've all been through our own personal financial life. And you want somebody that you just feel comfortable with, just like when you choose a church or you choose a partner, whomever, someone that will really break it down to you, really, for lack of a better word I'm thinking of, that, you know, you can just call on. That they have a job to do, too. But, you know, and you want to deal, you know, respect each other's time and all that. But that is a very important thing for your current financial life and your financial future, that you're getting the right information from someone you can trust and someone that will stand by. And sometimes prove to you what they're saying. They should be able to typically give you a secondary resource to back up what they're telling you. So if they're telling you, giving you some advice about this, well, here's a website or here's a book. Or, here's the source that I go to get my information. So, you know, there's just like when you go to a doctor and they give you some type of review on your health. Financial, you have a financial health and you have a physical health. So the doctor that you choose the way to your life really goes in conjunction with the person you choose for your financial life and making sure that you can trust. And if that person doesn't mind you getting a second opinion.
Yep, good point. Are there any other closing remarks you want to leave with? We've got about 7 minutes left in the program, so we can wrap up for today and then up the webinar.
All righty. Let's see here. What I want you to do is write down some information I'm going to give you here and a website I'm going to give you to do a little homework. What we want to determine is, okay, how is your current financial health? Okay, what kind of whatever income you have coming in, what type of debt do you have out there? Okay, as an example, if you were to come to your average bank and trying to get a new loan, they're going to look at your credit report and all that. But there's also a thing called debt to income or affordability. So what I want everyone to do before we meet again is to go to consumercredit.com. Again, that's consumercredit.com. When you go to that website, I want you to type in the search section of that website. Let's see here, financial workbook. Okay. When you type in financial workbook, there is a workbook that's going to come up, and it's going to give you itemized forms on there that will help you write down all of your expenses, okay, and all of your debts, your income. There's several pages there that I want you to look at. But I'm going to give you an example here, doing a little math. Your average bank wants you to have 40% debt to income when they get you new credit. Again, this is affordability. Can you afford the new loan that's being given to you? So as an example, if you have a $299 car payment, $899 home payment, $300 in credit card payments, and $150 student loan, okay, that total is $1,648. If your income is $5,000 a month, okay, take that debt divided by that income, and it's going to give you roughly 33%, okay? Now, bank is looking at that and you're trying to get a new loan, okay, whatever that loan is for, they're going to say, okay, how much more can this person afford to pay on a payment and still keep their debt to income at 40%? Alrighty. Using the numbers I just gave you, this person can afford another $352 payment, okay? And that would put them at 40% when you're looking at new loans. So this workbook, I want you to write down all of this, fill out the workbook. If you have, you know, these types of issues, I mean, you know, if you have an income versus a debt. If you happen to be a student and you don't have any income at this point, make up one, okay? When you get out of school, there's a certain amount of money we all want to make, okay? Whether we get there or not is up to our hard work. But make up a number, okay? Stick with that number. Say, okay, I want to make $80,000 a year, $50,000 a year, whatever that number is. And then basically break that down by 12 for a monthly amount and work those fictitious numbers throughout the workbook and just fill it in just so that we, when we get back together, we can kind of look at this and determine, okay, this is where we stand. This is all going to be private information, of course, if you're working with real numbers. And this is maybe what we need to do or where we need to focus our efforts to get out of the debt that we have as fast as we can.
Okay, and I wanted to also let the audience know that you'll be doing our Financial Literacy Education Program workshop on managing credit and debt on February 23rd at Herzing University in Buckhead in Atlanta from 11 to 1. So if there are some young ladies or young people in general out there who would like to come out and learn more, please come out on the 23rd. The program is geared towards high school through young adults. So, again, a wide range, but there's some information for everyone. All right, would you like to leave us with some closing words?
Well, I say it's been I've had a great time. To be honest with you, like I mentioned before, this is my first time doing a webinar like this. But I was excited to do this, and I appreciate the opportunity. I really look forward to seeing everyone at Herzing College because once I get in front of people, I kind of get animated in person. So, if you want to see me dance and give information or whatever, come on down.
You did it.
Throw confetti. Yeah. Or whatever. Come on over, and we'll have a great time looking at our current financial future, and hopefully walk away with something we can use for life.
Yeah, and yes, do come out and learn more. Art told us about the 5 C's of credit: character, capacity, capital, collateral, and condition. He gave you the information on the 3 major credit agencies and info on contacting annualcreditreport.com, as well as a homework exercise to make sure that you have your money right. And if you don't have it right, you have the opportunity to get it right.
I like that. I might have to put that on the bank.
Guy, you want to close us out, please?
Sure. Thank you again, Art, for being with us. We'd like to close all of our shows with a quote. Did you have a quote or personal quote or a quote from someone else that you'd like to share with us this evening?
Ooh. Okay.
And it could be a personal, philosophy or a personal quote that you you like to share, or something from someone else.
Wow.
It's my fault.
Well, I hear my mom's voice, so I'll go with that. I hear my mom's voice in my head, so I'll go with that. You know, always be prepared for the unknown, and do what you need to do today. Take care of business, so that when that unknown comes, you can deal with it, handle it, and move forward.
Oh, that's very nice. Always be prepared for the unknown. Awesome. Raisa, did you have something you'd like to share with us this evening?
Yeah, just the thought that what you are spending your money on today, if it's not paid for in cash or barter, then you are indeed mortgaging your future, and it's just a little piece of you, the less of you out there in the future that you have to use.
And I'd like to share what you do early in your financial life will affect you later in your financial life. And you've been listening to Sisters in Spirit and another episode of our Financial Literacy Institute. Our guest speaker was Art Crutch, and he will be with us again on February 23rd. And please look forward to additional information. It is for the age group of high school students through young adults. And come out. Make sure you take advantage of this free information that's being offered to you by a financial expert. You've been listening to Sisters in Spirit, and remember to infuse harmony into your everyday living. Thank you again, Art, for being with us, and thank you, Raisa.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
You've been listening to Sis Internet Radio. Until the next time, enjoy the fluid flow of life by remembering to infuse harmony into your everyday living.